Turn with me to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. I'll read this passage and then want to watch a video that was intriguing that Kevin found this week to just get our mind set on the Christmas story and whatever truth the Lord would reveal this morning for us. So, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I thought that was cool. Modern day look at the message of Christ, the good news being spread around. What it would have liked to look like maybe today. But I hope that you guys are seeing not only the struggle that they that Mary and Joseph obviously had, and also Elizabeth and Zechariah, and all that they faced in those days, but also just the good news, the incredible good news that Jesus was born. There's so much we could talk about today. I just want to give a brief portion of this scripture today and give you something to think about during the Christmas holidays. But I do want to make reference to what we've been talking about in this way. We're not going to be in John today because John doesn't give us the story of the birth of Christ. And I feel like we need to talk about the birth of Christ around Christmas. Agreed? Oh, yeah? So we'll do that today. And I have a green sweater on. So... But the things that we've been talking about is, number one, we've been trying to follow God's leading for our congregation to get some handles on the gospel. We've been talking about the fact that God causes us to search for the truth about who he is. God causes that search to discover the good news. And we've seen evidence of that in the book of John and what he was doing with the Jewish people. And it's interesting, we won't cover this today, but it's interesting the number of, and I do encourage you to go back and look at some of these, the number of references in all of the Gospels about the coming of Christ and how he would come and where he would come from. And all of that, again, in preparation, the one that Kevin read out of Isaiah this morning is a good reference. That should have helped the people to understand who Jesus was. In Isaiah 7, it talks about the passage that we read today, that Jesus would be born of a virgin. When that was announced and reported, that should have been understood by those Jewish people who had studied the Old Testament, and particularly Isaiah. They should have known that Jesus would be born of a virgin. So that news should have been good news to them. In Micah, the reference to Bethlehem being the birthplace of Jesus, they should have known that from that prophet, that Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the most unlikely of places and of all times, that she was pregnant and miraculously through the government mandates was brought to Bethlehem. Just in time to have her child, not because she lived there, but because there was a decree that she should return there to be taxed because she was from the line of David. And so they should have seen that sign, all kinds of signs. Isaiah's announcement in chapter 9 of Isaiah, where he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor." I mean, those references to this event should have been enough to help those of us who were in that day stuck in religion but knew the Bible of their day. They should have known. This is the Messiah. And then certainly God has given more than enough references through the miraculous things that went on during the night and the events of the birth of Christ. With the star and the wise men and the angels appearing, all of that. Beautiful references and beautiful displays, I believe, of the love of God attempting to give mankind the good news that Messiah has come. And so we could focus on that. Certainly and toyed with the idea of preaching that. But we've been talking about good news, and I just want you guys to know this is just more good news. It's more good news for the people of Israel. It's more good news for us that Jesus was born that day. I do want to go to Isaiah 11. I didn't give you this, Prissy, but if you can look up Isaiah 11, 1. I want to read one prophecy because I think it'll play into what I want to believe the Lord wants us to hear today regarding this idea of Jesus being called Emmanuel. In the passage today, it says that Joseph was told that he would give birth to she would give birth to a son. They would call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus means Jehovah the Savior. And so that is who he is. It certainly describes who he is, and this was the name that he used. It's the name that he was called. The prophecy that is given right following that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Doesn't mean that they missed that. Emmanuel describes his character. It describes who he is. God with us. Of all descriptions that God would want us to have, this is the description that he gives, and it's the description I want us to spend time with this morning. God with us. Why is that so significant? Now, you look back in the Old Testament and you see all of the stories that set this up. But they were waiting for Messiah to come because they understood the power that would be present when God would be with them. They understood the kind of power that they would have, particularly over in their minds, over those who ruled over them, the Romans. They were seeking that kind of power, and they wanted a king that would come to deliver them. And so a lot of them chose to put out of their minds, apparently, this whole idea of Jesus being born of a lowly birth and being raised by common people and dying on a cross as the lamb that was slain. And so they had to be reminded of that later, which we've talked about in John, after John grows up and prepares the way. But they wanted, they desperately wanted to have God's presence with them. And it was easy to see why. You can go back to the Old Testament and story after story after story. You see what God's presence does. I mean, God's presence with Abraham, leading him and guiding him, making him a great man of faith. When he chooses the most unlikely place to go to and giving Lot the choicest land, God still blesses Abraham because God was with Abraham. Story after story in the Old Testament of kings and common men who, because of the presence of God in their lives, displayed an enormous amount of power and received an enormous amount of blessing. David standing before a giant Goliath that held an army stalemated for 40 days and 40 nights, stands up and calls him an uncircumcised Philistine and shouts against him that he would feed his big giant body to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, throws a stone in, does just that. The weakest member, the weakest tribe of Manasseh, Gideon, hiding in a cave, threshing wheat in a wine press, is told by God that he would lead Israel to defeat one of the largest armies ever gathered against Israel. All of the Midianite peoples and eastern peoples. The weakest member of the weakest tribe of Manasseh, but because God was with him, not only did he accomplish that task, but he did it with 300 men armed with jars and torches. And Elijah stands before the prophets of Baal and Asherah by himself, calls the people to himself. No one comes. But God is with him, and he prays a prayer to the only one who's with him, Jehovah God. He prays and asks God to bring fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice so that those people would know who he was. So that we have revelation of the truth about who God is. And he prays that prayer, and he gives them all day. And in just a second, God not only consumes the sacrifice, but the altar, the water in the trenches, the dirt, everything's gone. And so God's presence, story after story in the Old Testament, God shows us the power of his presence. And so Israel wanted that. They desired to have God's presence. And just like us, I'm sure that they desired to have it, his presence with them for the wrong reasons. You know, sometimes they had a lust for the power. And the reality is they didn't really want God as much as they wanted what he had to offer in the way of power. Power over their enemies. Power to defeat their enemies. Power to live a victorious life. And we do the same thing. Some of us, we just want God's presence with us for the power, the things that we need in our life, for his provision in our lives, to be able to bless us. And some of us seek God to the point that all we want is the prosperity and the blessings of God that come in that way. Some of us, it's the healing that we want. Some of us, it's just the peace that we want because our lives seem to be in so much trouble. And the good news about Jesus, the good news about the gospel and Jesus coming as God with us is that all of these things are part of who he is. But we need to learn like they needed to learn, that we need to desire him. You know, the thing that God is trying to, the desire that God is trying to swell up within us right now is a desire for him. And all these things are just byproducts of the person. So God with us is very significant. Some of the things that Isaiah talks about in chapter 11 of Isaiah, verse 1 through 5. Let me just read those to you. Listen to some of the things that he says that Jesus would be when he came. Y'all with me this morning? Say, oh yeah. All right. I spent 14 hours on the road Friday and 10 yesterday. So nobody has any excuses. All right. Everybody awake? All right, here we go. Watch in this passage or listen in this passage about the things that Jesus would be. What would it mean when God would be with us? Isaiah gives us this foreshadowing of what it would be like. He says, then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what he sees, what his eyes sees, nor make decisions by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Now, there's some things that I believe if we just thought about them for a minute would be things that we would look forward to as we, as Israel maybe, is waiting for Messiah to come when they see that these are some of the things that he will bring. Look at what he says. Surely these are things that we want. That his Spirit would rest on Jesus. And consequently for us, as Jesus lives in us and his Spirit lives in us, his Spirit rests on us. We get to understand what true wisdom and understanding is as we look at the life of Jesus. We get to understand what true counsel is, what true strength is. We get to understand what it means to have the knowledge of God and to fear him by looking at the life of Jesus. We get to understand what it means to delight in and fear the Lord by looking at the life of Jesus. And we need help with this, boy. I love this. We need to learn how to look beyond outward appearances and what people say. We desperately need that. We need God with us. We need to learn how to judge who is really poor and afflicted as we try to minister. We need to understand the message of truth against the wicked. All of these things, what righteousness and faithfulness really looks like. Jesus exemplified that. And so the beauty of Jesus coming and living, God incarnate, God leaving heaven to come and live on earth for us. All of the advantages of that are given here in Isaiah. So all these beautiful prophecies put in, I believe, in the hearts of the Jewish people of Israel, desire to be able to say, God is, we want God with us. We want God with us. All of the history that they had with God in the Old Testament, the prophecies that were given, we want God with us. And when God shows up, it's interesting that they missed him. They missed all of the privileges of doing life together with God incarnate. God, literal God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, walking among them. They missed all of the privileges of knowing him because they were focused on the wrong things. Do you think that maybe there's a chance we might be doing the same thing? even the best of us. I mean, I'm convicted by this. What is it about Jesus that I'm missing? Because I have this preconceived ideas of who he is and what he's supposed to be about. I think we've missed a lot of the truth about who Jesus is. And so there's good news for us today. Good news of great joy. That shall be to all this community. It shall be to all the nations that we touch. Good news of great joy. Unto us a son is born, a savior is given. Christ the Lord. Good news. All right? Now that's not the sermon. Just thought I'd throw that out. I just want to spend just a few minutes talking about some of the thoughts that came to my mind. When I think about, and Scripture talks about, what does it mean for us to have God with us? Put that in your mind for a minute. To have God with us, what does it mean? You know, all of the realities about who God is in life for us, you know, his presence with us, all of those realities are waiting for us to encounter him on a daily basis. All of that's waiting for us. In every circumstance that comes up in our life, God is with us, and we need to encounter him in our circumstances. And I encourage you guys to embrace that in some of these ways. First of all, the obviously, in this passage, he talks about unto us a Savior is born, and Jesus is his name, meaning Jehovah, our Savior. If you haven't experienced if you haven't experienced Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you today that that's number one. God with us means that Jesus is available to each one in this room to become your Savior. And what does that mean? It means that apart from Jesus, you are separated from God because of your sin. The wages of our sin is death, our separation from God. We are separated from God because of our sin. Everyone in here has sinned, according to Scripture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus is here, available to every person in this room as our Savior. So the question for you and for me is this. First question. Yes, he's present. Yes, he is available to you to become your Savior personally. But are you responding to him as Savior? God with us. Great opportunity for every person in this room. If you don't know that you know that you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you can have that. All right, that's great news. That is the gospel message. Jesus came to provide a reuniting of you and God. All right? How did he do that? Isaiah tells us. Not only does Isaiah tell us, unto us a child is born and a Savior is given, but Isaiah also tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray and each of us have turned to his own way, but God has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was prophesied that this child that would be born would also be the sacrificial lamb upon whom all of our sins would rest. And so watch what happens. Good news, church. I know most of you know this, but maybe some of you don't. God takes all of our sins, when we place our trust in Christ, he takes all of our sins and places them on Jesus and takes his perfection and places it on us. God made him to become sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, is that good news? All right. For some of you, it's old news. I understand that. Okay? But let me say this too. I'm not an emotional person. I'm not feeling it right now. But I'm going to say this. Some of you got stuck on that news and you haven't ever received any other good news from Jesus. Any other good news about God being with you. The gospel stops there for you. And so I want to encourage you to go on into some of the other things that I believe God has shown me this week that I rejoice in. I rejoice in the fact that God is with me because He is a faithful companion through life. He is a faithful companion through life. Have you found God to be that for you? Have you found that regardless of what goes on in your life, good or bad, that He is present with you, that He is a faithful companion, that he guides, He gives peace, He gives help, He gives comfort, whatever it is you need, He gives, provides power. He provides companionship. If nothing else, he's a shoulder to cry on who can make a difference. Y'all with me? I love that about Jesus. And to me, that's good news. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this. He says, what can we say in verse 31? What can we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all now, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Listen to this. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. God is faithful. Jesus is a faithful friend. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. That's good news. Now, for those of you who stopped understanding the gospel when you got saved, okay, when you received Christ as your Savior and you received the remission of your sins and you understood that your eternal destiny was secured, but you've never gotten past that, let me encourage you to get past that today, because there's another part of the gospel that I believe is described for us when we understand the fact that God is with us. And this is that He's a faithful friend. Your sin doesn't run God off. When you mess up, it doesn't make Jesus run the other way. Whenever you choose to sin, I mean, I'm talking willful sin, you know, against everything on the inside that says, oh, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do this, but you say, well, you're right, but I'm doing it anyway. And you sin. All of us do that in some ways in our life. When you do that, that doesn't scare Jesus off. He doesn't run off and say, well, that's the way you're going to act, and I'm not going to be around anymore. No, God is with us. God is with us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. You can't separate yourself from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You are sealed. And for me, as I ponder, you know, the idea of Emmanuel, God being with me, man, I love that. And right now, I'm feeling that. Okay, I'm feeling that one. I just spent a week with six people in a two-bedroom condo and 14 hours on the road twice. There's a lot of sin that goes on in my mind and heart. A lot of struggles. Now, I'm thankful. I'm always thankful. Look, if you don't know the reality of your sin, ask your best friend. They'll tell you. You know, whatever. Find out, because, you know, it's in our weakness that He's made strong. I am weak. I don't revel in my sin. I hate it. I really don't want to live that way. I'm trying to get over it, and I have the power of God working in me to help me. But the truth is, Satan whispers in my ear all the time that Jesus is far from you because of what you just did. And He's the one that taught me into doing it more times than not. That's good news for me today. Is that good news for you? Say, oh, yeah. He is a faithful companion and friend through life. God with us. Another thing I thought of is that God is our means to a full and meaningful life. Man, God is giving me the best life, the most incredible, abundant life that a person could ever live. And it's not based on my circumstances. It's based on His presence with me in the midst of my circumstances. John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. Jesus with us is not supposed to bring mourning and misery and a hard struggle, you know, that life that's just pitiful. I've shared this story before, but I think about it every time I think of most Christians, or many of us, not most. This little boy had lived with his grandfather, went to church with his grandfather every Sunday. One Sunday, the little boy went to church. Grandfather wasn't feeling well. He goes to church, and that's the day he discovers the reality of the fact that Jesus loves him, and he receives Christ, and he's saved. And he's so excited about it. He runs home, and his grandfather's in a rocking chair rocking and has this glum look on his face. And the little boy looks at his grandpa, and he says, Grandpa, 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 guess what? He said, what? He said, I asked Jesus into my heart today. And the grandpa said, well, wipe that smile off your face, son. Life's going to be hard now. And the little boy turns around kind of disappointed. He walks out the door of the house, and he goes around to the back of the barn, and he sees an old mule with his droopy ears and his eyes hanging down, his old lip slobbering. And he looks up at that mule, and he said, Mr. Mule, you must be a Christian too. And for some of us, that's the way we think Christianity is supposed to be. Well, you know what? I think when you discover the truth of the gospel in the second way that we talked about, the fact that God's grace is sufficient for us, that God looks at us, because Jesus is with us, in us, God looks at us as perfect. You know, you begin to live life in that kind of freedom, and you discover that that's a good and abundant life.